Welcome to the Impactful Engineer Project. I'm Steve Maxey, and with my co-host and brother Jake, we are here to bring you guidance, fresh ideas, and the tools to help you become an impactful engineer. Today on The Impactful Engineer, I am here with my brother Jake for an authentic conversation around engineering and personal development. Our goal is to create an environment for career excellence targeted toward engineering professionals. We believe that being open about what we've learned in our own careers will benefit others in their unique journey of engineering. Ultimately, we want people to have fulfilled careers and be inspired to become the best versions of themselves. So our podcast does have a few episode types. Our standard episode, which is like this one, is Jake and myself. We present a topic, we introduce the why and the how around the topic, and give some tips to get the conversation going and hopefully inspire some action. Usually, this will be based on something you can deploy in your daily career. Often, this includes a mindset shift we invite you to consider moving forward with, because we know and have experienced the power behind embracing mindset changes.
The second episode type that we have is a solo episode. It's usually a quick and down to the point episode where one of us has an idea that we want to share with the group. This typically is a mindset, a strategy, a tactic around making yourself and others around you increase their potential in their career. It's something that we are really passionate about, close to, or that simply would otherwise not make good content for the full episodes. Being solo episodes, these have a feeling more like a lecture. It'll just be one of us with you, with a little bit of fire mixed in. We call these episodes Wednesday Wisdom.
And like most other podcasts, we do have a format that brings on a guest. And we usually do these about once a month. And our guests will be an expert in their particular field, and they will share their perspective, mindset strategies, and action tips based around their area of genius. The overall goal being to provide exposure to multiple thought processes and views in areas that will help you succeed. And if we don't do that, we usually end up having a great time anyways. And we know that you will find some golden nuggets in there if you listen really carefully.
And lastly, we have a newsletter that comes out every week on Saturday, which reinforces the why, the how, and the action to take, involving some of the highest impact activities you can do to boost your career and your confidence in it. Check that out by either navigating to impactfulengineer.com or signing up through the questions at impactfulengineer.com. And we will send you the newsletter each week.
Today, I'd like to invite you to think about how you are attached to your work. I became interested in engineering because I wanted to see my designs in the real world and be able to take pride in the fact that I designed that or I was on the team that made that happen. I think this is very common for a lot of engineers. Unfortunately, this led to an unhealthy emotional attachment to the thing I was working on, which led me to be defensive in the design and resistant to outside input on how it could be better. It was my baby. After realizing the negative impact this was having on my career and the perception as a collaborative team member, I shifted my focus and my passion into the work I was putting into my projects. The effort, the milestones accomplished, and the satisfaction of the team and customers of a job well done now drives the fulfillment that I have in my work. This mindset shift made a significant impact on my career since. So I ask everyone listening to ask yourself how emotionally invested you are in your work and where is that investment allocated the most? Jake, is this something you struggled with at first in your career, or was this something you realized before it had a major impact?
I don't think I struggled with this exact concept, if I'm interpreting it right. In my career, I may have been overly excited. You know, that's where my emotion was, overly excited about what to share, about how I was learning things, what could be done better, things of that nature. So that's where I had to take a step back a little bit. And where I was emotionally charged. So I've always had that internal drive to just excel, crush, do better, win, annihilate, whatever you want to call it. And it spilled out of me like craziness for like 7 straight years until I was able to recognize that I needed to rein that in a little bit. So, but that's kind of a separate topic. But it's something that if that hits for you, audit yourself a little bit. I would say where I saw what you're talking about with someone taking a huge amount of pride in their individual contribution and the work that they're doing that is part of the larger team was early on in my career to mid-range of my career. And I don't see it so much now, but it does come up every once in a while. And that is someone on the team, an individual, is a know-it-all, is kind of the attitude that shows up with that in mind. What they're really doing is taking a lot of pride in their work, and it lets it, and they kind of let it spill out, and then it kind of snowballs into being a know-it-all. And then that affects the team in a pretty negative way, because there's never a point where, well, I won't say never, where this person wasn't working individually and had no contact with anybody else. That's just not the nature of our job. You have to be a good communicator, and you talk a lot with many different parties in my career or in my industry. So what it did was, one, I saw it negatively impact the team, because if someone was quote unquote in charge of a portion of the project that involved this said person, they would have a hard time approaching them. It weighed it a lot on them to approach them, because they knew the discussion was going to lead to either a comment like, well, you're an idiot, or I would have done it a different way. No, literally. I blew up a couple times because I didn't know how to manage my emotions at that point in my career when I was 22, 23. I was a excited kind of hothead, and this person was a know-it-all. And that with the big ego from me and then the know-it-all from him, like, yeah, that didn't work so well.
Yeah.
We did end up working very well together, but we had our moments, right? So that was negatively impacting the team. Clients would email, phone, everything short of writing a letter to me about his attitude and how he does a great job, but they don't want him on the team. Some clients were straight up asking if there was another engineer that could do the same or close to the same quality that could be put on the team, because they didn't like what this person said in client-facing meetings. They were fine with it internally because they could manage that. But when we have stakeholders in the room, it wasn't this person wouldn't pare down what they're saying. They wouldn't adapt to the room. They wouldn't figure out that they need to act a little differently when there's people of influence involved that aren't in your organization, right? So that was their worry. So this is where I've seen this taking extreme pride in your individual work that you do and allowing it to spill out and be very defensive. Even when it wasn't something to do with their discipline, defensive. When it was something to do with their discipline, very defensive. And the befuddled, scoffing would come out, and that is stupid. No, that's so stupid. We would never do that. Stuff like that. It's just, you just flat out can't. I mean, just having it leave my mouth right now, it just makes me want to laugh, because it's like, that is so obvious to me that is not a good thing to do.
Yeah. The team's defenses just go right up. Right. And no one wants to work with that person.
Yeah. Even me. I mean, we got along most of the time, but we would clash. So while my ego was pretty big back then, I could let stuff go pretty quick. So it was kind of a chaotic relationship, and we did well, but still, even I would go, oh man, gotta call this guy again. And it makes it hard to manage that person, because everything you say, no matter what approach you take, comes across as an attack. So I was really left, I was in a weird position, because I had been like 2 years into my career and somehow was the manager of this person, right? Or if I wasn't the direct manager, I was a project manager, and I was giving direction and trying to put pieces in the right place at the right time. So, and this person was way my senior. So that made it even worse. I couldn't connect with the person very well. Took a very long time. So that's how I've seen it show up. That's what I've dealt with in my experience along this category.
Yeah. So that person was very black and white, right? This is either the right answer or it is completely wrong, right? There's no middle ground or, hey, you know, we can make this good enough, right? It's not perfect, but we can make it good enough so we can get that product out the door, you know, or get the design finished and get it to the customer. So they're happy because now they have the, you know, the order of project that they want, right? That's how I've seen it in the past as well, is, you know, they want to chase that perfection. And if it's not perfect, it is completely wrong. And they do not want to let go of that project to other people.
And when you have to, that's all true. When you have to have a conversation, it forces you to find a way to break down the barrier temporarily, but that's so hard to do. And I'm thankful for this person, actually. I accredit them with me growing as a leader very quickly, because if I hadn't had that experience dealing with that really tough person, I wouldn't be able to deploy the micro strategies that I do to get through to and get along with and really jive with some people that I meet. I don't think I've quite met a person quite at that level. So everything under it, I feel like I do pretty well. So I'm actually pretty thankful for that. But it would take such a long setup. Like, you know, I was hitting his ego and saying that I'm an idiot right off the bat. I'd be saying like, man, I just don't understand this stuff. So I'm looking for you to explain something to me so that I can learn. That was one. That brought it down just like a little bit of a tear, right? And then I would deploy other things and I would set it all up and I'd say, what do you think? And then I'd get the answer and then we could move on without this tension between us. But I had to do all these things up front, which is very hard to do for a new manager. And anyone else that's not within the same company that knows this person is going to get blindsided by the way that they communicated, and it's never going to be good, ever. They're going to get off that phone with resentment. I hate this guy. I wouldn't want to do work with this team if it was the low bidder, the cheapest thing ever. I wouldn't want to do it. I'd rather pay a little more so they don't have to talk to this person. That's not a good place to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Earlier in my career that, you know, I had a lot of these tendencies to hold on to things and, you know, be very prideful in that. And I think what really helped me see the light per se is I saw someone else who displayed those characteristics even more so than I did. And I saw the damage it was doing to their reputation and their career, you know, and the perception by all the other team members, including myself. And I was like, wait a second, I do this. So what I'm thinking about this guy, it, probably a lot of people think about me. And so that's kind of what started driving that realization, that aha moment. And had to ask a lot of questions and ask people like, hey, you know, do I come off too strong on this stuff? You know, is there anything you can tell me that would help, you know, you want to work with me more, et cetera? And that just changed the game for me big time.
Yeah. And in my experience, when I started asking those questions and for the feedback, 90% of it said, okay, I now understand you and we're cool.
Yeah.
10% was, yeah. And here's how I think it affects everything. And then I go, oh, that's good. I almost want more than that as a response so I can improve. But just clearing the air on it, like, dude, I know I'm a freaking wild horse. All right. I'm sorry. Are there things that I can do to kind of pare back? And as soon as I would bring that up intentionally, a lot of it was just like, all right, I understand you. It's cool. Now that I just know that that's just you and it's not, because everybody's going to take it personally, right? And now that I know it's not an attack on me and I'm not taking it that way anymore, everything suddenly gets better. Of course, there's a middle ground there and I have adapted like big time, but
yeah.
Yeah. Just talking about it and just, you know, finding that place to where you can have that conversation with somebody helps tremendously. Just doing that.
Yeah. And looking at other peers and seeing how they communicate and how their perception from their other peers is perceived, you know, you'll be able to kind of gauge your own perceptions of other people to isolate what it works best and what does not work when it comes to this.
Absolutely. The closer you are to the people that can give you the feedback, the better. What you want to do is solicit that feedback from them first. So say you have direct reports or you're directly reporting to someone, whatever situation, the person you spend the most time with and that you're closest to, start asking those questions. It's harder the farther you go out from the sphere of influence of proximity, either organizationally or who you're sitting next to, the muddier that's going to get. So you have to start adapting your responses, your tact, your the manner in which you deliver things. As you know, you have to be able to adapt that as you start identifying who's farther from your sphere and who's closer. Because you could make a change that's good for your close sphere, and you implement that to the people that are farther disconnected from you, and you could start, that change may not affect it the same way, and you could start actually damaging that relationship that's farther from you. So you really got to know how to adjust the way you operate based on who you're around. And the safe bet is just to operate off of pure principle and core value established in the company or within yourself. That's always the best framework you can fall back on. As the sphere changes and you get better at adapting and knowing personalities, you can deploy different tactics to gain advantage. It's to drive better results through communication. How about that? Drive better results through knowing human beings. How about that? As you figure that out, definitely start doing those things. You can be helping someone a tremendous amount by deploying a different tactic or a different way of saying things and presenting stuff. But if someone's really far from you, just having the utmost respect, the most concise communication, and asking for direct actions is going to be your best bet. I just wanted to put that out there. So there's a distance parameter here. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, bringing it back to our original topic, you know, we're...
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
the audience thanks you.
Yeah, yeah. we're not saying don't have pride in your work. It's more of have pride in the work that you're doing, right? The efforts that you're putting into the project. Because the quality of the actual product or the design that you're doing will be a resultant of you putting your best effort into the work that you're doing and having pride in that, right? So being creative in executing tasks, getting things done early, delegation, everything that goes into being a high performance like project manager and engineer, et cetera, is going to end up producing an awesome result that you can be very prideful in, but don't emotionally attach yourself into that end result. Attach yourself to the process of getting there.
I like that. There's a lot of talk in the self-development world too about focusing on the process.
Yeah.
In my experience, that is key. Emotionally attach yourself to the process of winning and getting there, because you can control that. Is really what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. Your process you can implement at any point in time. So you're going to go through your process that you've established to do your work and love that process, man. Love hitting those micro goals and getting the information and finishing that calc and laying it out and making that really nice table of recommendations, and then project decisions are being made. So really love that process, because if you tie your emotions to the result, some projects go bad.
Yes.
Some projects go really good. Some projects are like, eh, we could have just not done that project. It was either, you know, neither good nor bad, or projects aren't good or bad. There's just results. And so if the results are interpreted as being bad, you could tie your emotions to that and be really distraught. So that's really good, tying them to the process. And the better you are at your process, the more likely the outcome is going to be really good, right? The other thing I would say is, if you're having a hard time with that, tie your emotions into the team's process, to the team's collective results, to the team's ability to execute well and work well together and support each other, so that in the end, you start subconsciously doing what's best for the team, and you'll be able to share in the celebration. Even if your little part didn't end up the way you wanted it to, that's not what you're looking at. You're looking at the team's results. That way you can share the win, share in the celebration, okay? And you can review the results with them as a collective and start being collective-minded, okay? And that's going to bring a lot more, I believe, fulfillment, happiness in the job. It's really going to make you feel great about the work you're doing and contribute to the betterment of the entire team, which then contributes to the betterment of the entire company, which then means that you get to execute on your social mission more. You get to push on things that aren't directly related to profits more because you're focused on the process of the team. The team's doing well. The company's doing well. You're making profits just because the team's doing well. If you have the right system, you're going to do well if you execute it right. And then you get to focus on the things that really matter to you in the company.
Yeah. Another perspective to think about is, you know, when it comes time for reviews or, you know, analyzing the result of the project itself, right? A lot of focus will be on how you responded to the adversities you faced in the project. You know, how did you get around a design challenge? How did you get around a vendor or supplier not delivering on time? How did you get around all these obstacles in a project? Will show your management that you are a highly effective engineer, that you are driven to accomplish the goals and support the team as a whole. And that's going to be way more favorable than just focusing on the project, because the project could be delayed 6 months. But if they see that you were just hammering down to do anything in your power to influence that timeline being reduced, you know, they know that you're a kick-ass employee, and just shit happened that caused it to be extended, but that is not from a direct influence of you. You've been kicking ass the whole time.
Yeah. And what they're not seeing is beating yourself up, getting knocked down because your pride was attached to you doing well on everything that you did specifically, not as a team. Negative thoughts getting in your way, you know, all these things. Did he get lost and then have to find his way back? And then, you know, all these things go into that review that you're talking about, because they'll see it and have that perception. But what helps all of that, back to the point, is really getting down to the details of where you're attaching your emotional, where you're attaching your emotion to within the project. And the process is where you want to be, and the team's where you want to be, not your individual contribution.
Absolutely. Well, I think that wraps up this topic. I think we pretty much hit every angle and every point on it. So tell us what you think. Send us your thoughts at questions@impactfulengineer.com and leave a comment when we post about this on LinkedIn. And you can find us on LinkedIn at The Impactful Engineer.
And if you can attach yourself to the process and to the team's results, nothing's going to stop you. Hey guys, I hope you had a great time listening. Maybe you learned something new, maybe you got inspired, or at least took one thing away that you'd be able to use. Maybe you just had a good laugh. Impactful Engineering's hope and mission is that through this podcast, we can play a small part in expanding the reach and awareness of engineering and all of its many areas of application. The multiple engineering career paths available can be hugely rewarding as part of a fulfilled life, creating opportunity to impact nearly everyone in the modern world. An engineer's work helps to foster creation of new technologies, create safe and comfortable environments in which people can work, and lends to the sustainable future of everyone on the planet. The world needs more impactful engineers. Our vision is to provide engineers with the perspective and the tools to allow themselves the opportunity to become the most impactful engineers they can be. Included in our vision is to grow the impactful engineering community to a point where we can provide full-ride scholarships to students in every single U.S. state every single year. This is an enormous goal, and with your help, we can get there. To start, we will continue to execute this mission in the way that we know how, having conversations, telling stories, and talking about what we find interesting and are passionate about. If the episode made you think, made you object, made you think you could possibly be doing something more with your day, or brought about an idea that you could spend more time on developing further, please share the show or recommend it to your friends. Even if you didn't personally think it was a huge help,
there may be someone that you know that could benefit from it, and that's all we can ask for. Until next time on the Impactful Engineer Podcast.